Almighty God, we bless your name. Thank you for your grace that has been sufficient, your power that has always been with us. Thank you for the grace that you've given us thus far. Thank you for bringing us to this crowning moment of our gathering today. Lord, we pray that you will just open our eyes. Take us higher, take us deeper, that which we do not know. Teach us wherever we failed, wherever we fell in the past. Lord, you will give us the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are there, I will appreciate an amen from you.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God
Amen.
bless you. As we round up, we are looking at victory over the power of darkness. Victory over the power of darkness. We contend with powers of darkness. But the good news is that we have victory over them. Turn with me to Colossians as we read chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, our verse is 13. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh. And we need to pause and ask ourselves, how did we get there? Why did we get there? Who did that to us? The enemy, Satan, did that to our first parents, and we came to inherit this dead, depraved state. You being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened. Someone came to give us the victory. He has quickened us, forgiving all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. In those days, you could see in public debts that were owed were displayed in public, just like obituaries. But Christ came, we owed the debt we couldn't pay. He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. And then what did he do to the enemy of our souls? Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, David spoiled Goliath after he killed him. He stripped him. He took his sword. He took everything that belonged to him. You go to the battle, you conquer the enemy. Everything that the enemy has, you dispossess him of what he has. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. Openly, what does that mean? You conquer the enemy, you know, police go for operation to round off criminals. When they arrest them, they are handcuffed. The whole public will see what they have done. They are exhibit. Everything will be brought to the public. Although they did those things clandestinely, secretly, they are conquered, and he made a show of them openly. Of these principalities, of these powers of darkness, triumphing over them in it, triumphing, triumphing over them in it. And look at what happened as we go back in Colossians chapter 1, and read verse 12 and 13, Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, because in due time, while we were yet sinners, Christ came to die for us. Giving thanks unto the Father that we were so helpless and so weak that we couldn't have redeemed ourselves, we couldn't have paid that debt. That handwriting of ordinance, there was no way we could have blotted it out ourselves. We give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, qualified, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This is our liberty. This is our inheritance, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And if you have been brought and liberated and come into this commonwealth, you don't desire to go back into darkness any longer. He has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And listen to this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He won the victory and he passed the baton over to you and me. Delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us from where? From the kingdom of the darkness now into the kingdom of his dear son. And you are here, you have not yet had this translation and transfer. What are you waiting for? Why would you want to dwell in darkness when there is abundant light? The only way to have this victory over this power of darkness is to accept the transfer. And the transfer of power will come to us in Jesus' name. Every true believer, you know, Satan is not happy when you take your transfer, when you accept that transfer of Christ, and that defeated foe will continue to fight. We are engaged in an invisible, the battle is invisible, but it's unceasing warfare with the power of darkness. And no matter the spiritual height you have attained, no matter how pious and holy you are, you will not enjoy immunity from this spiritual warfare. Remember, he only left Christ for a season. Even Christ Jesus had to contend with the power of darkness every moment of his time on earth. And some of us, when we have had one victory, we go and sleep and we think it's all over. It's a daily battle with the power of darkness, with satanic forces, with forces that are invisible, with forces that we cannot behold with our eyes. He wanted to prevent our salvation in the first place. And the moment Christ was born, he sought to kill him. Of course, he works through agents. And because of our salvation, he had to, you know, take Joseph, take the child to Egypt. Christ returned. And you could see every step of the way before he began his ministry. You thought that his first attempt to kill him which didn't succeed would be over. No, he continued relentlessly, unrelenting, every step of he even followed him to the Gethsemane. He will bring, you know, a lot of things to just to distract him from the core duty and business for which he came to earth, redemption of our soul. Settle it in your mind that you are engaged in a battle. as a child of God, as a believer. And anyone who rejects this existence of the powers of darkness is living in denial of the truth. The truth is that we are in a battle. And Satan is the chief architect behind this warfare. And he's working with, and he's working through a host, multitude of spiritual and human agents using all kinds of trickeries. But this is not to scare you, because remember, he triumphed over them. He made a public show of them, and he passed the baton on to you and to me. And if we will follow him. We will follow him with a victory will be ours. And if we will be careful, we will be conscious of this fact that we are engaged in a battle, and we will be consistent in our walk with the Lord. We are definitely going to trump and triumph over the power of darkness. And always says that to labor to be acquainted with the ways, and he has so many ways, with the wiles, and there are multitudes of them. His methods are numerous. The advantages he tries to seek from us, the occasions of the success of sin. That is the beginning to this warfare. I pray that the Lord will take us out of every ignorance, and he will equip us to fight and win in Jesus' name. And we look at the truth about the power of darkness. The truth, the fact about the power of darkness. Turn with me to the gospel according to Luke, as we look at chapter 22, verse is 52. Luke 22, verse 52. 22:52. We are told, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? Are you coming against me like a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour. This is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your hour. And look at the people. Christ was not speaking directly to Satan. He was speaking to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders. But you see, they were just being manipulated and remote controlled by this power of darkness. Satan was behind every plot and every scheme of theirs. And that is the fact, that is the truth, brethren, that we are engaged in a warfare with this power of darkness. Christ himself was not spared, and we, his followers, would not be spared. That's why I said early on that regardless of your spiritual height and attainment, you will not have immunity from battle with these forces of darkness. But with God on our side, we will always have the victory and overcome in Jesus' name. John chapter 14, verse 30. John 14, verse 30. 14:30, we are told, hereafter, and if you have a good Bible, you see these are the words of Christ, red lettered. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, that's another name for Satan, for the prince of this world, there are people who live their lives as if there's no Satan in the world. As if they don't have an enemy of their soul. The prince, the word prince here actually means the ruler. He's the one in charge of this world now. The prince of this world cometh. This is chapter 14 now. And he had early on met Christ, even before he began his ministry. The prince of this world cometh, not he came. And when I defeated him, he didn't return. He cometh. It's a daily battle. It's a daily contention. It's a daily warfare. The prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. That's how to have the victory and the triumph. He cometh, but does he have anything that links you up to him? He cometh. Do you have anything in your wardrobe? Do you have anything in your room? Do you have anything in your life? Do you have anything on your laptop? Do you have anything on your phone that he cometh and he finds, say, yes, I have business to do with you. The prince of this world cometh. Do you have anything in your heart that gives him room to operate? He cometh and he has nothing in me. I pray he wouldn't deposit anything in your life. And whatever he might have deposited secretly, clandestinely, the Lord will open your spiritual eyes today to see and to put him where he belongs in Jesus' name. Second Corinthians chapter 10, our verse is 3. Chapter 10, our verse is 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do our business in the flesh. We communicate in the flesh. We attend to earthly duties in the flesh. We do not war spiritually after the flesh. Why? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What does it mean? It means that the truth and the fact is that there are strongholds we are battling with. There are strongholds against your life. There are strongholds against our church. There are strongholds against our families. We don't see them, but they are there. Casting down imaginations. It means there are imaginations that are fighting us. And we then cast them down. But the fact is that we are battling imaginations. And he says, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the implication? There are high things. There are high powers that are fighting the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the scriptures, the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of creation. Every truth in the Bible, high things, high knowledge, so-called high powers are fighting them, bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought. It means that there are thoughts that are fighting us. And often, the battleground for this spiritual warfare is the mind, the thoughts that he throws at us. You may be here and he will tell you, are you not tired? Just log off and go and rest. Thoughts. But we subdue them and bring them to the obedience of Christ. That is the fact. There are strongholds, there are imaginations, there are high things, there are thoughts that are fighting us, and we need to fight them. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1, Ephesians 2, 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead in trespasses and sin. And if anybody is in sin and he has made deceive them into thinking that they are enjoying life, they are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past Ye walked. Now check the Bible. It didn't say you walk. You walked. Every child of God is no longer dead in sins. You walk. He has been delivered from this dead life. He's been resurrected and quickened. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the fashion of this world, according to the trends and the dictates of this world. That is what we did in the past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You remember what Christ told us in John 14, 30? The prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me. And Paul confirms it here, that there's the prince of the power of the air. And there is a spirit that is behind it. Look at it. The spirit that now worketh. There is civilization now. All these Satan thing. We should just forget about it. Why should you be so cautious and so, frightening people? There is a spirit that now worketh, not worked in the past, nor shall work in the future, worketh in the children of disobedience. Anybody who is resisting the truth of the gospel and deliberately choosing to disobey God, there is a spirit that is remote controlling them. And obviously, it is the prince of the power of the air that is behind that. It is Satan who is at work in those people. And you are here, you are struggling to bring yourself to the authority of the scriptures on of the word of God. Watch out and ask yourself, which spirit, what kind of spirit is operating in me? And ask yourself, this life I am living, these places I am going, is it the spirit of the Lord that is leading me there, or it is the spirit of the world? And it is the prince of the power of the air that is remote controlling my life. In chapter 6 of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is the truth. That is the truth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Don't be so naive. As if that's all there is to life. You have all these hosts of forces you are contending with as a child of God, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the true state of affairs. And I pray that none of us will be ignorant and negligent in Jesus' name. You are in a fight. You are in a fight. Christ, as we have seen, acknowledged the existence and the work of this power of darkness. And the chief aim of Satan is to keep sinners in perpetual bondage. It is to keep people far from the truth. Because when they discover the truth, they will be saved. And he has lost people now. So he will keep people, sinners, in perpetual bondage, and he will keep believers lukewarm. Well, you can still be a Christian, but don't drag your Christianity so far. Lukewarm, so lethargic, backslidden. That is his goal. That is his goal. No longer interested in prayer. Well, if he at least a month you manage to show up in church, it's okay. It's not every meeting, every time church, 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 church. And you are so weak and you can't fight anything. That is his scheme. And I pray the Lord will open the eyes of your understanding. Look at how he does it, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, It is he to them that are lost. Police is not looking for them, but they are spiritually lost. In whom the God of this world, the God of this world, and look at the spelling there is not capital G. It's not the Almighty God, but the God of this world. It is Satan who is currently ruling this world and has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And why is he blinding them, spiritually blindfolding them? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He is doing this on purpose, deliberately blinding them to the truth so that they will not be converted. That's the truth. That's the reality. These evil powers, they are seeking to manipulate and dominate individuals. They are seeking to manipulate and dominate our families. They are seeking to manipulate and dominate our churches. They are seeking to dominate societies and nations. And you don't need anyone to tell you and give you evidence that our world is under satanic manipulation and domination. No, it's visible. It's visible. It's so clear. And he employs a lot of means. False religion, occultism, divination. It may not be called divination. He changes it. May be called psychic, say telepathy, clairvoyance, but it's the same thing. Sorcery. Actually, you look at the Greek for this word sorcery, and it is pharmakeia, pharmakeia. It's out of this we get the English word pharmaceutical, pharmacy, drugs. Manipulation and the people who are into drugs. Horoscopes. We not call it fortune telling. Horoscopes. The martial arts. You are here, you are enrolling your child in karate and taekwondo and all these things. There are satanic manipulation in all these things. He is infiltrating the entertainment, and we know them. Movies, songs, video games for children. Toys for children. He's there. Watch what your children are watching. Don't put their lives on autopilot. And then you give them the screen, you give them the television, and that is what quiets them. And then you allow them to watch anything and everything. Be in charge. Satan is using that to manipulate them. Don't you see that they act out the things they watch, and you are beginning to wonder, well, why is this child behaving like this? The things they are watching, they are channels of domination. That is the truth. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. The battle has always been there and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, and we will overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, they love not their lives unto death. Therefore, ye rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. This is deep. The woman represents the church. The woman, in this case, represents also Israel. The persecution has been there. The battle is set already in array. And you don't have a choice to say, "Well, I didn't, invite this battle." So you fold your hands. You are already inside, and you just need to prepare your mind to fight. And the Lord will give you the victory in Jesus' name. We look at the trickeries of the power of darkness. How do they operate? How do they manifest? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. This is the first time we hear about him. And look at the adjective that was used to describe him. The serpent was more subtle, more clever, more ingenious, more intelligent than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He's already displaying his subtlety here. That's not what God told them. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Wonderful. That is the truth. But why do you engage him in a conversation in the first place? You don't recognize how subtle he is, that he will outwit you. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Ye shall not. The Lord says, the day you eat, you will die. And then he comes and he says, "You shall not surely die." For God does know. And there are people, so-called educated, intelligent, influencers, call their names. What the word of God has expressly said, they say, no, it is the exact opposite. And we say, it is because Professor this said this. It is because this person said this. He shall not surely die. And then he now let them know that he know that God is actually cheating them. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What a blackmail. For God does know. So is that, and then You can imagine what would be going through Eve's mind. Ah, so is that how who God is? So he's deliberately keeping this from us. Then you begin to rebel. I know what to do now. Now my eyes are open, but open to what? To shame. To shame. And look at verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto the husband. Her husband was there, and he did eat. You see, the way he operates, he always preys on his victims using the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do you find this in verse 6? All the three of them. Do you see them in verse 6? The woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes. That is the last of the what? Of the eyes. Desire to make one wise. I want to be wise. The pride of life. She took the fruit thereof and did eat the last of the flesh. This has been his scheme. And he keeps recycling this every now and then with all his temptations and with all his schemes. Revelation 12, we read a while ago. Let's go back. The same old devil. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. And look at his name, that old serpent. Old serpent with old tricks, with old deceits, but recycled, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The whole world. That is the power he has to deceive the whole world, and the whole world will follow him through his trickery. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Have you seen one of his tricks here? He accuses believers. You remember what he did to Job? Remember? Oh, it's because of all the blessings that you are giving. That's why, let's take all these things and say, accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, relentlessly. Relentlessly, day and night. That is a trick. And I pray you will not fall for it, and you will not be overpowered by any of those trickeries in the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, our verse is 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians, the trickeries of the power of darkness. Let Satan should get an advantage of us. And that is what he is always seeking. Let he get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If you were ignorant before, after this retreat, you are no longer going to be ignorant of his devices. Enough of the naivety. We are no longer ignorant of his devices because the Lord has made them clear and plain to us. And I pray that he will continue to help us to put him where he belongs, in Jesus' name. Chapter 11 now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Our verse is 1, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my follies. Why are you talking like this? Well, why are you so scaremongering? There is nothing to just rest. Why are you taking things so far? And so bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me. Why? Verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But there is a devil in the world. There's a Satan. There are powers of darkness who wouldn't allow this to happen. Who wouldn't allow you to keep your chaste and virginity to Christ? Who would tell you this is not enough to be with Christ alone? You need to double into this and be here and be there. Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, any of his trickeries, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, through his stratagems, through his deceit, through his wiles, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's not enough just to have the Bible. You need something extra, something higher, you know, something more enlightening. The Bible is not enough. Your mind should be corrupted. He has power to corrupt our minds with all that is happening in the world, with all that is happening in the media, with all that it's been, you know, thrown at us, to corrupt our minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. But if your mind has already been corrupted, today you will receive the cleansing. Verse 13, for such are false apostles. Christ has apostles. He chose the 12 apostles. But Satan has false apostles also. Deceitful workers is part of his stratagems and schemes, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he takes the discernment of God to be able to figure them out. In transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. If you think that you will always come as we see in the picture, with horns and all that, forget it. He won't show up in that fashion. He transformed into an angel of light. Wherefore, it is no great thing if he is ministers. He has ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That is what he does, and that is how he operates. Look at how he did it, in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Remember his schemes. Remember his methods, the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life. And you see how he will recycle it here. You remember he used it in the Garden of Eden. Let's see what he did in the case of Christ. Chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, if you know this, let me ask you, I want to know you are there. Which of these three is in operation? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Unmute and tell us.
Pride of life.
Right. Okay, Pastor,
Yeah,
another
definitely.
person is
Last
coming.
of the flesh.
Last of the flesh, last of the flesh, bread, food, eat. Let's jump to verse 5. Verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him, showed, look unto him, look, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And what was he asking? The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. All shall be thine. Which is in operation here?
Pride of life.
Pride of life, we see there.
Covetousness.
Thank you. God bless you, Pastor. Now let's jump to verse. And you see the eyes also there. He showed him the things we see. Verse 9. Verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then remember, the devil ended all his temptation and departed from him for a season. So you see the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I'll give all these things to you and look at all the beauties of the world. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear, the same old tricks from the old serpent, the old devil. That is what he's still using today. I pray God will open our eyes. We will see him and his schemes, and the Lord will help us to navigate them, and we will have the victory over them in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 13, rather, Matthew 13, the trickery, Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Good training for the children. But while men slept, you see how he comes in? His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way, clandestinely, secretly, Nicodemously, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. While men are spiritually sleeping and in stupor, he came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the bread was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, this thou now this not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? And we see the battle our children are fighting. We are teaching them Bible. We always have devotion. We pray together. Where is this thing coming from? While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, would thou then that we go and gather them up? The enemy has done that. And while we slept, while we put our children's devices And everything, we gave them the remote control. They had unlimited this and unlimited that. The enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. The Lord will fight for us because we need his strength in this battle. While they went to school, they came and sowed these tares in the wheat we had planted. The Lord will deliver us. His schemes are numerous, but he always follows the same pattern: the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life. And Gunnell is saying that the same sleeping time, spiritual sleeping time, is Satan's tempting time. I pray we'll be wide awake to triumph over the power of darkness in Jesus' name. Triumph over the power of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph if we will cooperate with him. If we will be conscious that we are engaged in battle, if we will be careful about our ways, if we will be consistent with him, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh himself the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. In Luke chapter 4, we read a while ago, Luke chapter 4, verse 4, triumph. How do we triumph? Luke 4, verse 4. And Jesus said unto him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What are you living by? What are you living by? What are you living by? Do you feed on the scriptures? Oh, why are we reading so much? Are we going to finish the Bible today? You don't like the word. And that was the weapon that Christ used. The word. Look at verse 8. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In verse 12 and 13. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, it is said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. All these references are from Deuteronomy 6 and 8. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed for a season. And we need this discernment to know that he's only gone for a season and he will return. It is written. And he himself is quoting scripture in verse 10. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. And Satan knows more Bible than you. You are in trouble. It is written. You know, one weapon Satan uses against believers, number one, is to let them mistrust and distrust the weapon that is so potent that Christ even used to overpower him, to discredit the Bible. And the Bible was written by man. They are all the words of man. How are you even sure that the one you have in your hand is the original one? And then he fought it with it physically to destroy it, but it didn't work. It now comes in different, you know, all kinds of translations that are so watered down just to destroy the potency of the word. And then he said, oh, but this is Moses, it's Old Testament, it is written. How do you doubt the efficacy of what Christ used to overcome the enemy? You will win the battle because now you know his tricks, you know his deceit, you know his schemes, and the Lord will give us victory over his schemes in Jesus' name. The spiritual weakling is not ready for the fights, and victory will elude that one. In Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You can't be a weakling and win this kind of race. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't be picky and choosy. Well, I like the belt of truth, but I don't really like the helmet of salvation. It's too clumsy. I can't carry that one. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against the trickeries of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Don't be picky and choosy. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which Christ used, which is the word of God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is this word of God, praying always with all prayer. And there are people who like, hey, I like prayer, 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 prayer. They're always praying, but they are so bereft of the word of God. They don't have time for the Bible. They don't have time to sit down and listen to sound teaching. They're always praying, they're always fasting, they're always in this vigil and that. But they don't have sword in their hand. They don't have the weapon that will help them to win the battle. You will have that weapon. It takes vigilance. It takes sobriety. It takes putting on the complete armor of God to win. And only the spiritual weapon the Lord has given us can give us that decisive victory over Satan. A holy life is a sure weapon for triumph over Satan. Because 1 John 5, 18 tells us that he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, keepeth herself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We know the case of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, and how, because of the excellent spirit in him, they couldn't find any occasion, about him. And the only thing they could do was to prayer, his prayer life, just seeking to destroy that. But the lions didn't have the mastery of his bones by his enemies. They didn't get to the bottom. And they were destroyed. They were overpowered because they didn't have what it takes to win that battle. And did you know why Satan engineered this using those assigns and those agents? Because Daniel held the key. Daniel held the key to the release of the children of Israel from exile. In chapter 9, he began to pray. He read by the books that no, it's time for us to get out of captivity. But look at chapter 6. If the lions had overpowered Daniel, they would have been in perpetual bondage and ignorance. It took a Daniel's holiness to get them out. And then in that chapter 9 also, you see about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Daniel was pregnant with this revelation of the end times, of what the Antichrist was going to do and everything. And Satan knew that, and he sought to kill that vision and that revelation and the Antichrist and everything. In that chapter 12 about the resurrection of the dead, Daniel was pregnant with that, and Satan sought to kill him this way so he wouldn't reveal all that. You will not end your ministry halfway, because the Lord has opened your eyes, and Satan will be bruised under your feet shortly, as the Lord tells us in Romans 16, verse 20. Let's wrap up with Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, triumph, saying, Lord, even the devils, the demons, are subject unto us through thy name. You don't need to tremble. You don't need to be scared. You already have the power. Christ made an open show of them, and you will. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's a defeated foe. Behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you power to tread. You don't have power. You are powerless yourself. You need to tap into the power from Christ on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, hurt our children, hurt our families, hurt our churches. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And in any way they came in to sow tares among the wheat, the Lord will reveal everything and will meet them boot for boot and win the battle in the name of Jesus. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirit are subject unto you, because we have been given the weapon for them to bring it into captivity. Are subject, but above all, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Thomas Watson tells us, assuringly, comforting. He says, soon the battle will be over. It will not be long now before the day will come when Satan will no longer trouble us. There will be no more domination, temptation, accusation, or confrontation. Our warfare will be over. And our commander, Jesus Christ, will call us away from the battlefield to receive the victor's crown. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Now we are in the battlefield, and you want to be sure you are combat ready. You are ready for the battle. You have seen the truth that it's a fact that we are on the battlefield. And if you didn't know, now you know. You have seen the trickeries, his schemes, his deceits, his lies, his stratagems, his orchestrations. You want to pray that in any way you fell victim to his schemes innocently in the past, the Lord will open your eyes to see, and the power to triumph is yours. Make sure you don't leave here powerless. Pastor, take it out.
Brother, we are praying. We are going before the Lord in prayers. And we know the message has made it very clear unto you and unto me that a believer is in a constant fight. We are fighting day in and day out. But there is one thing that we know for sure, that there is victory over the power of darkness. Is that the child of God has a host of forces that he is contending with. Let the enemy, let the devil take advantage of her, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The child of God is fighting thoughts. The child of God is fighting imagination. The child of God is fighting high things, but there is one thing that we know for sure, that if our feet is shod in the word of God, if there is holiness looming over our head, if we are in holiness, we are living in holiness, victory is for us. And so we are praying, going before the Lord. This that the blood of Christ has delivered us as a atonement for our sins, we know that victory is assured. Victory is assured. And there is no way we can be under the captivity of the high things, the imagination and the thought, bringing man down, dominating over our life. We are praying that any principalities and powers rising himself over our life, we are praying, taking possession and freeing ourselves, and we are coming against any works of the enemy, any power of the devil, anything that the devil is using to oppress us. We are praying that the spirit of the Lord that set us free, the spirit of the Lord that liberate us, the power of the Lord that set us free. Tonight we are praying. This evening we are calling upon the name of the Lord, and we are calling for liberation. We are calling to be set free. We are calling to be set loose from anything, any power that be, is it, and having spoiled principalities and powers. There is a power in the name of Jesus to spoil principalities, to spoil powers. We are praying that today the Lord will spoil any power, any principality, raising himself against the children of God. We are in a battle, a constant and a fierce one, which is being waged even before the foundation, the existence of our life. And so we are praying, having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly. We are suppressing and overcoming any power of darkness, that the Lord will make a show of them. We are saved, sanctified children of the Lord, and there is no way we can be oppressed by the enemy. They will come in one way, but in tens and thousands of ways will they flee. We are praying that the power of the Lord will cause us to triumph over them. Is it that he has made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it? We are praying that there will be a triumph. We will triumph. We will triumph over the works of the enemy, over the power of darkness, in the name of Jesus, that the Lord will deliver us, that the Lord will deliver us, that the Lord will deliver us over the works of the enemy, in the name of Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Christ is able to deliver us from the power of darkness, from the oppression of the enemy. And we are praying that the Lord will deliver us. The Lord will deliver us. The Lord will deliver us. In the mighty name of Jesus, he will deliver us. He will set us free. In the name of Jesus, he will deliver us. He will set us free. In the mighty name of Jesus, deliverance is for us. No longer under oppression, because Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. We are praying any stronghold that is in our life that seems to be unsurmountable. We know that when Christ is lifted up, every stronghold comes and turns into plain. Every mountain keep crashing down. We are casting down any imagination, and any high thing that has been a rock in our life, exalting itself beyond imagination, seeming insurmountable. We are praying that today there will be a casting down. Today there will be a casting down. We are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Oh, we are praying, bringing down any captivity in our life. We know that there is a risen Jesus, and when he rises, every mountain turns to plain, every mountain turns to plain. And we are praying in the name of Jesus, let there be a turning around, let there be a turning around in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be a turnaround in the name of Jesus. We pray and we destroy. We pray and we trample over the power, over the age, over anything that is not of God, exalting itself. Itself in our life, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we bring it down in Jesus' name. We pray Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, just as we have read. And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespass of sin, wherein in time past you walk according to the flesh of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We are praying any spirit that is working disobedient in the life of our children, any spirit that is working disobedient in the life of the members of the church, any spirit that is working disobedient in our children, that had made them adamant to instruction. We are praying that today there will be a quickening, that today there will be awakening, that today there will be breaking down, that today there will be casting down in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, today let there be a breaking. Today let there be a casting down, let there be a casting down, let there be a casting down in the name of Jesus. We were told that the serpent of old uses the same old trick, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are his go-to, and we are praying that the Lord, any lust of the flesh that kept me captive and being in bondage over the ways, being in bondage, we are praying that the Lord will break, that the Lord will break any last of the flesh. The Lord will save us. The Lord will save us from any last of the flesh in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the last of the eye. The last of the eye that we cannot take our eyes off. We cannot take our eyes off from the goodies of this life. We have become a mundane day demons, running to and fro over the things of the world, over the mundane thing that perisheth away. We are praying that the Lord will give us a new focus. The Lord will give us a new focus. Focus into the things of eternal value. Focus into the thing that perisheth not. Focus into the thing that perishes. If we free ourselves from the lust of the eye, we render the enemy, we render the devil useless. We render the devil with no weapon. When we free ourselves from the lust of the flesh, we render the devil of no effect. We render him useless. We render him useless. The pride of life. If we free ourselves from this weapon that the serpent of old is still using, we render him of no effect in our life. And so we are praying that Lord help us. Lord help us. Lord help us. Lord help us. Free us. Save us. Save us from this old way that the enemy is using. The enemy is using. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord free us. Lord free us. Lord free us. Lord free us. In the mighty name. In the mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. Free us, O Lord. Free us, O Lord. Free us, O Lord. Any deception of the enemy. Any deception of the enemy. The word of the Lord tells us, Satan comes in different way. Satan comes in different way. Satan comes in different way. Through apostles. Through his work. Transforming himself into apostles of Christ. Transforming himself into angels of light. He packaged the old story. He packaged his old ways. Making them appealing to our eyes. And we are praying. We are praying that Lord, any deceptive ways that the enemy is coming with, any deceptive way that the enemy is coming with, we are praying that the Lord will save us, 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 in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord will save us, in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord will save us, in the name of Jesus. We are made to understand that a holy life is a sure weapon. A holy life is a sure weapon. A holy life is a sure, true weapon that the enemy cannot overcome. A holy life solves all. A holy life solves all. When it comes, we face the enemy with our holiness. We face the enemy with our holy life. And he will flee. Through holy life, the enemy will flee. And we are praying that the Lord will perfect holiness in our life. That was the work of Christ on the cross of heaven, to perfect in us holiness. And today, just as Christ is risen, we are praying for a perfection, a perfection, a perfect heart, a holy heart, a holy heart that causes the enemy to flee, that causes the enemy to leave, that causes the enemy, whenever he comes, we face him with the life of holiness. We face him with the life of holiness. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the message tells that we cannot fight without a sword. We cannot fight without a sword. And the sword is the word of God. We are praying that the Lord will increase his word in our life. Will increase in his word in our life. Will increase his word in our life. So that day in, day out, we will face the enemy when he comes in his cunningness. When he comes in his tricky way, we will face him. We'll face him. We'll face him with the word that is in us. We are praying that the Lord will increase our desire to know more of him. We'll increase our desire to know more of his word. We'll increase our desire to know more of his way. So that when the enemy manifests himself, tens and thousands of ways, we will have antidote to that old trick, antidote to that old ways, antidote to that old man. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. And will build himself in our life. He will build himself in our life. Will build himself in our life. Will build himself in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus. That we will face the enemy. We will face the enemy. The devil. In the mighty name. In the 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 name of Jesus. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. We are strengthened in the Lord through his word. Through his word. In the name of Jesus. And in the power of his mind. In the power of mind. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. That ye may stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your Lord, get about with truth, any truth that you need, any truth that you need to put the devil to silence. You are praying that, Lord, Lord, make it my portion. Any truth, any truth, any truth that we need to put the devil to silence. When he manifests himself, you are praying that, Lord, open my eyes to that truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, we are praying that any breastplate, any form of righteousness that we need, so that when the devil shoots, it will bounce on that breastplate and fall of the Lord will make it our portion. The Lord will make it a portion in the name of Jesus. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Above all, taking the shield of faith, we are praying that that faith that we need, and wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fearing that of the wicked. We are praying that the Lord will make it a portion. The Lord will make it a portion. The faith that we need, the word that we need, the righteousness that we need, the truth that we need to always and daily stand victorious over the enemy, the Lord will make it our portion. In Jesus' name we pray. We are victorious in Jesus' name we pray. We will stand tall in Jesus' name we pray. Over Amen. The powers of darkness in Jesus' name we pray. Over the
Amen.
Walls and the jars of darkness in Jesus' name we pray. Towns and tens and thousands of ways we will stand tall.
Amen.
We will stand tall. The
Amen.
Devil will not have dominion over us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Christ is raising, and we have been raising with him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because Christ is standing tall.
Amen.
We are victorious because Christ is victorious.
Amen.
This is our portion in him. Amen. In Jesus' name
Amen.
We pray.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
We now call on our